Amen. It's called foul meat for a reason. You guys were paying attention earlier, weren't you? Okay. But I kid you not, a kid in public school had this to share. And all I got to say is, this is sad, right? Listen to this. He said, our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said, fried chicken. Yeah. She said, I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everybody else laughed. And my parents always told me to tell the truth, so I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. So I told my dad what happened. And he said, my teacher was probably one of those members of PETA, you know. He said, they love animals very much. And he says, well, I do too, especially pork and beef, okay. He said, well, anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office, and I told him what happened, and he laughed too. And then he told me not to do it again. So the next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was, and I told her it was chicken. And then she asked me why. So I told her it was because then you can make them into fried chicken. So she sent me back to the principal's office, and he laughed again, and he told me not to do it again. I just don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. So today, my teacher asked us which famous person we admire the most, and I told her, Colonel Sanders. Can you guess where I am now? I told you, folks, chicken causes problems, okay? And if you don't believe me, folks, I got to share this with you. Just ask this guy. Yeah, just stare at that, folks. Mr. Popeye. Okay, we all know what that is. It's not chicken, okay? And I think, folks, we know also what it really is. And Mr. Crispy's days are over. Okay, but let's just move on, okay? But folks, believe it or not, as abhorrent, okay, as detrimental as you can see, chicken is, once again, I'm hoping you're starting to see a pattern here. Believe it or not, as problematic as it is, I think I found something that's even more problematic than that, okay? And I'm telling you, folks, it's churches who refuse to teach on prophecy. Why is that such a big deal? Because people never hear about the seven-year tribulation, and that is not a joke. The Bible says that is an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet for 7 years nonstop. Jesus said it's the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God kept it to that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many guys would say people should probably know about that? Exactly, and that's exactly why God devotes nearly one-third of this book, the Bible, to prophetic issues. He loves people enough to tell them what's coming so they're not caught off guard, including we, the church. We're not going into the seven-year tribulation, amen, because we are saved from, we're rescued from, and we're not appointed unto the wrath of God. We can't be in there, but he lets us know when it's getting close so that we can finish strong as a faithful bride, amen? And so that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. What are the signs that we're getting close to the seven-year tribulation? Again, God doesn't tell us the exact day nor the hour. Why? He knows this. What would we do? We would goof off to the very end, wouldn't we? Right? Oh, I guess I better start serving God now. Or even the lost. Well, I guess I better get saved. I've got 5 more minutes to go. Okay. So he doesn't tell us, but he tells us it's getting close. Now, one of those signs we already saw was the Jewish people and the Antichrist, our 20-week study. And then the last 15 times, who's counting? I am. Okay, the last 15 times, the second sign was modern technology and the AI invasion. And so far, we saw the first 6 future prophecies concerning the rise of modern technology, letting us know these are a huge, major sign that we're living in the last days. The 7-year tribulation is about to take place. Now, we saw that by way of recap, 3 weeks just on the increase of travel across the planet. That's something we take for granted. The increase of communication. Then we saw the increase of distribution. We can get anything anywhere on the planet, well less than 3.5 days that we see in Revelation 11 that is going to give the gifts to this people celebrating the death of the 2 witnesses. That's pretty crazy. That's commonplace today. We saw the increase of electronic transactions, i.e. a cashless society. Then we saw that leads to electronic markings, i.e. the Mark of the Beast system. And I couldn't believe it. I had no plans that would go this deep, and I even skipped over a bunch, but the last 8 times we dealt with the issue of electronic monitoring. In other words, the Big Brother society that Revelation 13 tells us is coming to this whole planet, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are literally micromanaging everything. They're not just giving orders of what people are supposed to do, i.e. worship the Antichrist. They're going to know if you do it or don't, because it says there, if you don't do it, they're going to know it. You're going to die if you don't. Okay, that needs a Big Brother surveillance in order to pull it off on a global basis. Now, we've already saw that system is not coming. It's already here. We saw that with the information system, the satellite system, and the last 6 times, the camera system on the grounds, not just with cameras. Remember, it's the audio as well. Okay, and both of them. We saw that with cities and streets and buildings and transportation, billboards, body cams, cell phones, and then the last 2 times in your house. Why did Jesus say in Matthew 24, of all places in the seven-year tribulation, which, by the way, you don't have to go there if you get saved right now. But he said, unfortunately, for those who find themselves in the seven-year tribulation, when the slaughter starts happening, the last place you want to be is your house. He said it twice there. Why? Because even with this technology, folks, is creating a big brother paradise as well. Your house, your home is not safe. We saw that with automated systems, smart locks, smart TV, smart assistants, smart alarms, smart appliances. And what we see, anytime you see the word smart before something, certainly technology, what does it really mean? Big brother. All this stuff basically sold to you and I is convenience, right? Because we just apparently don't have enough energy to flip on the light anymore. Ouch! Right? They're using that technology to invade our homes and monitor us, watching and listening to everything we do. Okay? How many guys after that last study went home and got rid of Alexa? Yeah. I kid you not. We had people watching the services live. If you guys looked at some of the comments, we actually had people, when I was talking about that Alexa, they said when I was talking on the live service about Alexa, Alexa in their house responded. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But folks, that's all a sign that we're living in the last days. Your home, just like Jesus said, is not a safe place. The only safe place is right there through the cross of Jesus Christ. Take refuge today. But that's not all. I'm still preaching, so guess what, Pastor Tom? There's got to be more, and I didn't even have to do that fake voice out the side of my mouth. And you're right, the seventh way that modern technology reveals that we're living in the last days is the increase of electronic holograms. Holograms. What's that got to do with the Bible? Well, thanks for asking. It works well with my notes. Let's turn there to Revelation 13. This has everything to do with something the Bible mentions about the Antichrist, okay? But Revelation 13 is our opening text. Let's go ahead and turn there. Revelation 13, if you find the dictionary, what do? Hang a left. If you find Genesis, what do? Close it and just start all over. Or you're right, John. You can take a hard right. Anyway, Revelation 13, we're going to read verses 11 through 15. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. The beast out of the earth, the false prophet. And watch what happens with his conjunction with the Antichrist here. He says this, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb." Okay, this is a false prophet. "And he spoke like a what? A dragon." The text defines the dragon as Satan. So he too, like the Antichrist, the beast, is satanically inspired. Now here's what he did. He exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf, and he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose what? Whose fatal wound had been healed. Now, he also performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. Now listen, this is before the mark of the beast. He says he first, what? He ordered them to set up a what? An image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword, and yet somehow he lived. He was given power to give, listen, breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be what? To be killed. You may be seated as we take a look at what's going on in this text. But here we see again the false prophet. He's obviously just like Satan, just like the Antichrist we saw before in Thessalonians. He's going to be using deception. He's going to be using deception around the world to get people to specifically what? To worship the Antichrist. And not just the Antichrist. Throws in a little nugget here. Says you're going to worship his image, right? Now, what was the penalty if you didn't worship the image? Right, you are going to die, okay, is what it basically says there. You're going to be killed, okay? Now, apparently in the context there, this setting up this image and you've got to honor it and you got to worship it, it has something to do in conjunction with the Antichrist, his death or his appearing to die, okay? And so you honor this guy's power, this man, who can go against this guy? I mean, seemingly he was dead and all of a sudden he comes back to life. I mean, who wouldn't want to worship him? So it's kind of in conjunction with that as well. And so the first question I have in this text here is, do we see any technology on the planet coming anytime soon that could create not just an image of someone, okay, a lifelike image of someone, but actually an image that can talk to people, that can interact with people, that people, if you will, could develop a relationship with, even to the point of worshiping it, and that thing could also dish out orders to have people killed if they wanted? Do we have any technology like that? Yeah, we've dealt with this before, folks. Just one of those technologies is 3D holograms. And man, they are getting extremely sophisticated, okay? Now, we saw before, 3D holograms aren't coming. They're already here. And for many years, 3D holograms have been used by news broadcasts. They use them sometimes during the elections or special places where they got some on-site person during a catastrophe and they beam in a hologram if you've been paying attention to the media. But also, listen, political figures around the world who can't make that last-minute engagement, guess what they do? They use 3D holograms to make an important announcement. Now, that's interesting because that's political figures. Who's the Antichrist? He's a political figure. So you're seeing even that trend already take place. But we also see them becoming extremely commonplace when it comes to concerts, especially Hello here in Vegas, okay? And specifically, not just concerts, they use them, the holograms, specifically of concerts with dead people. And they use this technology, and all of a sudden, it's just like, they're back alive. Just like our text supposes. I mean, people like Tupac, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, you name it. Even Michael Jackson seemingly comes back to life with a 3D hologram. And watch how people go nuts. Let's take a look at this.
The comeback performance was a thriller. Michael Jackson, almost 5 years after his death, taking the stage at the 2014 Billboard Music Awards. There was his iconic moonwalk, and that trademark voice. The only thing missing was the real King of Pop. In his place, a hologram. This MJ likeness used at the Billboard Awards was created by Hologram USA, and it may have made some viewers a little uneasy. But founder Alki David says the technology gives fans a chance to remember the pop icon at his best. But this wasn't the first time a hologram performed on stage. Celine Dion crooned alongside Elvis on American Idol in 2007.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
And Tupac wowed audiences in 2012 at the Coachella Music Festival, rapping alongside the real-life Snoop. David says we can expect even better holograms in the future.
Wow. Oh, including ones during the seven-year tribulation when you need to bring back the Antichrist, this image of... Isn't this wild? This is not coming, folks. This is already here. How many? And those were like, they weren't like pixelated. Do you guys remember the first Atari games? We thought it was so cool, right? Or even the first Nintendo version. Remember those days, right? Man, with 8 pixels or something like that. But I mean, this looks like the real deal. That's what I said. Some people got uneasy. It's like, he's really there. This technology is not coming. It's already here. It's already being utilized. Okay. Now, remember, what's the common thread? These are all what? What's the track record here? Dead people. These are all dead people with holograms seemingly coming back to life, and people can interact with them, okay? That's exactly what's going to happen with the Antichrist image. We're already seeing that pattern. But let's take it a step further, okay? You might be thinking, well, that's just entertainment, Pastor Billy, okay? Nobody's going to develop a relationship with a hologram. Really? Folks, you need to be paying attention to what's going on in the Asian community, okay? And you're kidding yourself if you think it won't be coming here, right? Because of our rat race society, okay? And we ain't got time for nothing anymore. Have you noticed that? Let alone God. But we don't even have time for relationships, right? Because we're just so stinking busy. I mean, so wouldn't it be great if somebody could just create a hologram spouse for you? I mean, wouldn't that be great? Especially with the younger generations coming up, man. No commitments, no worries, no demands. I mean, now that's a relationship you could have time for. That's already happening in Asia. A hologram spouse. This is wild. Watch this.
朝ですよ。起きてください。ねえ、起きてってば。おはよう。
おはよう。
あ、今日雨が降るかもしれないから傘持って行って。急がないと遅刻しちゃうよ。
行ってきます。
行ってらっしゃい。気をつけてね。
状況表示、商品のラインナップについての。
なんかさ、家で誰かが待ってるっていいもんだな。さっき思ったんだ、帰ってくるとき。おやすみ。
おやすみなさい。
Dude, I'll stick to my wiener dogs before I do that. Miss you, darling. Did you catch that? Having a wonderful life with your favorite character, including the Antichrist, or whatever hologram you choose to have a relationship with. But did you see what was going on there, folks? It texted him throughout the day. It said it missed him. It turned the lights on from when he was home. It's somebody to be there when I got there. It's a hologram. People are already establishing a relationship with this technology. So it's more than just entertainment. It's more than just lifelike. It's more than just dead people coming back to life. People are actually developing relationships, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And ultimately, that relationship with the Antichrist is you're going to worship him. The image. You will worship the image, it says there, of the Antichrist. But wait a second, we let's put this together. We got lifelike images going across the world, okay? And you got these people with the holograms, and you got people developing relationships with them. As crazy as that sounds, folks, but there's one thing that I'm thinking, there's a barrier you have to crack through. You see, this is a global outreach. This is a global broadcast of the Antichrist in the seven-year tribulation. When the order goes out to worship the image, it has to go across the whole world. Now, the problem with communication is, guess what? There's like thousands of languages that are different from each other, right? How many guys speak 1,000 languages? Yeah, exactly. So nobody, right? So, but how are you going to, you can broadcast it all you want, but how are you going to get this broadcast, this hologram, this image into everybody's language all at the same time? Speaking of Las Vegas, they just came out with the ability to not just produce holograms, but they can produce holograms speaking any language in the world with your own inflection. Watch this recent Las Vegas promotion. This is crazy.
Now, it's a pleasure to be here in Las Vegas to present to you. Now, I get invited to do keynotes across the globe. And while it's easy for me to be here in Las Vegas, it isn't always easy for me to travel across the world. And even when I do, I can't always speak the local language. Well, what if neither language nor distance mattered for me to deliver a fantastic keynote? What if technology could help me be anywhere I needed to be and speak any language I wanted? Well, it can. We are bringing together the power of mixed reality and Azure AI services to create a truly game-changing experience. What you're about to see is an exact hologram of me wearing the same outfit that we recently captured at a mixed reality studio. And I don't speak Japanese, but what if I wanted to deliver my keynote in Japanese? Using Azure AI technology, I can translate my English into Japanese and train it to sound exactly like me, the same voice tones, those same inflections. Now we brought this together, my hologram and Azure AI, to show you what's possible. So first, I'm gonna put on my HoloLens 2 here, and then we'll flip in the room to the special camera so you can see exactly what I'm seeing. Let's get started. First, let me introduce you to Mini-Me. There she is, my perfect holograph. And thanks to the power of HoloLens 2, she just floats right with me. I'm literally holding my hologram, so natural. Now she's a little small to do a keynote. So let's get her up so she can do full-size Japanese keynote. Render keynote.
に驚くべきことがあります。私たちは最新の複合現実キャプチャー技術を使用し、私のホログラムを作成しています。実在の人物をホログラムとして見たことがあるかもしれませんが、私が実際に日本語を話しているのが新しいのです。 私は日本語を話しませんが、私の声とホログラムは完璧な日本語で話しています。これはニューラルテキスト読み上げと呼ばれる最新の人工知能技術、いわゆるニューラル TTS を使用しています。私たちは自分の声の録音を使用し、私のように聞こえる私自身の個人的な音声署名を作成します。まさに SF が現実になるところです。
This is mind-blowing technology. And what you just saw was my life-size hologram, my exact replica, rendered here in real time, speaking Japanese with my unique voice signature. And the most amazing part? All of these technologies exist today.
Just in time for what was written down nearly 2,000 years ago, Revelation 13, and the image of the Antichrist. Not coming, it's here today. Put yourself in John's position. The Apostle John, he's writing this nearly 2,000 years ago. How in the world is this image thing going to be able to communicate with people? How's it going to go across the world? How's it going to break through the language barrier? How's it going to be able to interact with people? I mean, how are people... I mean, that takes a relational issue to worship this... It's already here. All that technology is commonplace, already being used just in time for the seven-year tribulation. Now, let's go to the second aspect of the Antichrist in Revelation 13, and that's the eighth way that modern technology reveals that we're living in the last days, folks, and that's an increase of electronic body parts. Okay, body parts, believe it or not. Okay, and that's the other thing that's going on in this text in Revelation 13, something about this death of the Antichrist, a head wound or something that's going on. Let's take a look at that text and what's going on with the technology. But let's take a look. Revelation 13, verse 12. He exercised, the false prophet, all the authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf. And he made the inhabitants of the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose what? Not just wound, whose fatal wound had been what? Healed, okay? And so here we see the Antichrist. I mean, he's just, no wonder people go, okay, I'll worship that guy. He seems to be invincible. He seems to take this wound. I mean, you could hear the people say, man, you try to kill this guy and he just comes back to life. I mean, we were there. He took this fatal head wound and he comes back. And I will say this before we continue. You know, some people say that the fatal head wound that's mentioned here is talking about one of the kingdoms that the Antichrist rules over in the book of Revelation. Man, it could be, okay. But others would say, no, it's talking about a literal head wound, okay, that this guy receives. You know, he's a political figure, so maybe it's like an assassination attempt, like what happened with who? JFK. He wasn't just assassinated, but where did he get shot? In the head wound. Now, the problem is JFK obviously never recovered. So this is the question for you and I. Do we have technology on the planet that can give the appearance of somebody coming back from a seemingly fatal head wound? Like the Antichrist. Yeah. And this isn't 3D holograms. This is 3D printing technology. Okay? It's crazy, folks. Star Trek, eat your heart out. Okay? This technology can literally print just about anything you can think of before your very eyes. In fact, it's becoming very commonplace from a commercial part, okay, that even you and I could go out and buy one if we wanted. And you could start creating all kinds of things. I kid you not. Listen to this. You can have right now created yourself 3D printed toys, shoes, clothes, furniture, dental implants, sports gear, eyewear, phone cases, tools, artwork, instruments, houses, 3D printed houses, I kid you not, cars, trucks, aircraft, listen, even 3D printed pills and 3D printed firearms. Not a good combo. Drugs and guns, okay, that you print out on demand, okay? But speaking of Star Trek, I kid you not, they're even, I kid you not, remember the thing, you put the thing in there, I'm like a cheeseburger, and you push the button, pfft. There's 3D printed food now. And, quote, things such as chocolates, candies, crackers, pizza, pasta, even, that's right, the latest one, plant-based meat material. Isn't that the rage nowadays? Okay, but whatever, so they can even do that. But that's right, just in time for the millennials, you can now scan an image of yourself and have a 3D printed selfie. I mean, take that to a whole new level. Isn't that crazy? Now, let's be honest. How many of you guys actually want one? That'd be kind of cool. Christmas is coming up. whatever. But I mean, 3D, now you get 3D selfie. It's crazy, okay? At least this guy included the spouse. Okay, but that's just the first part. That's the commercial aspect of 3D printed technology, okay? Now, they're actually working out that you can actually create, you could print body parts, including body parts that I would say would come in handy if you took a seemingly fatal head wound. Watch this, folks, how far the technology has come. Print body parts on demand? This is crazy. Watch this.
You know what's better than a 3D printed pizza? Nothing. Nothing in the world is better than a 3D printed pizza. Hey guys, Tara here for D News with a story that is sure to warm the cockles of even the coldest, deadest heart. I don't know if that's a word, but I just said it, so now it is. A group of engineering students from an Illinois high school used a 3D printer to make a prosthetic hand for a 9-year-old girl who was born without fingers on her left hand. A regular prosthetic hand costs up to $50,000, which is an insane amount of money. So instead, the girl's father approached the school asking for help. Students found a 3D printout online that can be used to create fingers, and then they pieced the hand together, adding flexible cords that allow it to bend and grab things. The girl now has a brand new functioning hand, and the total cost? $5. Of course, this isn't the first time a 3D printer has created working body parts, and it's actually probably more common than you think. Last month, a group of doctors in Holland performed the first successful skull transplant using a plastic 3D printed skull. It's insane. The patient who received it suffered from a condition that thickens the bone structure, causing headaches, blindness, and eventually death. The procedure took around 23 hours total, and the woman has now completely regained her sight and return to work. Absolutely incredible. The same company also produces an array of other facial prosthetics, including noses and ears. The Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine is another place that's leading the way in 3D prosthetics. They recently created a bioprinted kidney by depositing kidney cells cultivated from a biopsy into a biodegradable shell.
There's no doubt that organ transplants save lives, but waiting lists for compatible donors can never be short enough. So what if there are a way of producing compatible organs on demand? Bioprinting has traditionally meant printing biocompatible materials as a base for cells to grow. Though it may sound far-fetched, scientists have already managed to print a human ear and other tissues. Doctors take a scan of the organ to create a 3D blueprint. Cells are then taken from the patient, which are then placed in a culture to multiply. The cells are then painstakingly placed on the 3D printed scaffold, which is then incubated to produce a functioning organ. It involves extracting stem cells from the patient's fat tissue, which are then mixed with a hydrogel and placed in 3D printed molds. These are then incubated to produce spheroids, which are the building blocks of organ printing. From here, you can pretty much print any organ you like.
Wake Forest has also paved the way for synthetic skin grafts, and they are currently developing a printer that could print skin straight onto the wounds of burn victims. First, they use a scanner to determine the size and depth of the wound, and then they use an ink made of enzymes and collagen and layer that in between tissue and skin cells the same way it would be layered in healthy skin. They say their goal is to have portable skin graft machines ready within 5 years, but let me reiterate just how incredible the potential for this is. Transplant waiting lists would be a thing of the past. Lose your arm in a boating accident? It's cool, bro. I'll just print another one.
Or get this seemingly fatal head wound. Oh, he's done for. Really? You just saw it. We can print up a new skull? Need a new nose? Just like you had? How about an ear? We'll pump those up. The skin got damaged. So technology that's not coming, it's already here. And they're already doing it to people. Let me give you just a couple quick examples. In March 2014, surgeons used 3D printed body parts to rebuild the face, another head issue, of a motorcyclist that had been seriously injured in an accident. In 2018, 3D printing was used for a kidney transplant that saved a 3-year-old boy. And just this year, Israeli researchers actually constructed a heart out of human cells with a 3D printer. And again, all that would come in handy if somebody needed to seemingly come back to life from some seemingly fatal wound. And folks, it's technology on demand, body parts on demand. Now, it's not just body parts on demand, okay? In case you need one, apparently, they've thought of it all. For the first time in man's history, we can all do that. But they're working on getting a new body, period. Now, the ones that are pushing this, we've talked about this before, is a movement. It's not make-believe. It's not science fiction. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's called the transhumanist movement. and is gaining steam on a big, massive scale. And they actually have plans, quote, to bring people back from the dead to, quote, achieve man-made immortality. Now, as wild as that is, you can say, well, you can think all you want, but that's a lunatic fringe and nobody's going to take you serious. Really? The FDA already approved for the transhumanist movement, quote, human suspended animation trials to, quote, preserve somebody's body when it dies, like, say, the Antichrist, to keep them alive until they could provide an alternative body, whether you print it up, whether you clone it up, okay, or some of them want to actually take your thoughts, your personality, supposedly, okay, and they say that they're going to have the ability here real soon to basically download the contents of somebody's brain, and then you could listen. There's two ways they're working on this. You could either take the contents of that person's brain, okay, and transfer it into an image, or you can transfer it into a new body. Now, if you're paying attention to Hollywood, guess what Hollywood's doing? Soft disclosure, folks, a ton of movies are coming out right now where people are basically swapping bodies. They take one person's body and they swap it out with another. Also, with like the movie Transcendence with Johnny Depp several years ago, basically he transferred his body, his brain, into a computer image. So either way, you could see this is actually technology they're working on. Hollywood is getting us used to this idea. Okay. In fact, they're coming out with some terms. They're basically saying that, you know, they're going to come a day, you get this chip, and it's going to download the contents, and when, you know, because no body lasts forever, then we'll just transfer you into a new and improved human sleeve. Watch this promotion from Hollywood. This is crazy.
Hello, gentlemen, and welcome to Psychosec. Can I answer any questions?
What is it all about?
Well, we're a company that produces 100% organic human sleeves. You're probably wondering, what's a human sleeve? Well, if you gather around, I can let you know what we do here in full details. So here at Psychosec, we've been able to achieve true immortality by taking your human consciousness and storing it on a device called a cortical stack. Planted in the base of your neck, and it collects and stores everything that makes you you. Every memory, every emotion, every sensation, everything you've ever experienced gets stored on this little device. You can see it here on the screen that's about to come up. You guys just follow me. All the information is stored on this device and can be digitally transferred from one sleeve that you currently occupy into the sleeve of your choosing.
Right over there, give you a little bit more information. Awesome. So this is our cortical stack device.
It's a small device, like, as I said before, that's implanted in the base of the neck. It's a small incision, and it records everything that you've ever experienced in your life, from when you were a child to now. And we store it in a file called DHF, which is a digital human frame. Everything that makes you you is on this device. Now, all that information can be transferred over from the sleeve that you're currently occupying into the sleeve of your choosing. Now, the sleeve of your choosing can be designed. So if you'd like blue eyes instead of brown eyes, if you like those rock hard abs but don't want to go to the gym for them, if you want to be taller, if you'd like to be darker, all these things can be achieved here at Psychosec. You'd like to follow me? Continue our tour.
Yeah, I know.
And just around this corner here is our final re-sleeving process. Come on in.
Real.
Real creepy is right. Folks, this is technology that they are actually working on. And again, you got to put this back into the scripture nearly 2,000 years ago. Again, the Apostle John, he's writing this down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not only is how are people going to interact with this image factor, but how's this guy, this political figure, the Antichrist, he's going to get this fatal head wound, at least it seems like it is, and then all of a sudden this guy comes back to life. I mean, no wonder people worship him, but how can he do that? You see all kinds of options. I'm not putting all my eggs, if you will, in one basket, but you could print up body parts. If these guys have their way, yeah, just give a whole new sleeve. He's good to go. And Hollywood is already getting that into our minds, just in time for the seven-year tribulation. But the final one, folks, is this. The ninth wave modern technology reveals we're living the last days is the increase of restlessness. Restlessness. Now, this is wild because we are immersed in this technology and there's been a horrible side effect upon us, but we don't see that as a sign that we're living the last days. But that's what Paul said. Watch this, and let me explain it to you, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 7, Paul says, but mark this, there's going to be terrible times in the last days. Well, why are they so terrible? He says right here, because listen to the society at that time. They're always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Always learning, but they're never able to acknowledge the truth, okay? And this is what he says. This is why these times are so incredibly terrible, okay? It's going to produce, listen, an increase of unrest. People, that society is going to be restless. Why? Because you're always acquiring all this information, all this technology, all the things that you say you're supposed to have, that's supposed to save time and give you peace. And what does it do? It doesn't deliver. But that's what they tell you you got to do. And so you got to have more. And you got to do this and this. And you get restless. Do you realize that that which we make jokes about, the modern day rat race, where we ain't got time for God, we ain't got time for people, we ain't got time for marriages, we ain't got time for kids, we ain't got time for nothing. That's actually a sign you're living the last days. That's the restless society. And again, this is a side effect that Daniel talked about from our very first prophecy passage way back in Daniel 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Well, how are you going to know? Because many are going to what? They're going to go here and there and to what? Increase knowledge. The technology, right? Think about it, folks. Are we not told today that the more we acquire of this new technology, again, the more time it's going to save us, the more peace it's going to give us, right? And the more that we, if we could just do more and we could rush here and go to and fro and hurry up and hurry up, hurry, and somehow we're going to end up with extra time and it never happens? Aren't we being told that the more that we have this increase of information, whether it's on the phone or on the internet or all this, if you just acquire more information, somehow your life will become better, and it never happens. Have we really saved time? Have we created peace with all this modern technology? No. Folks, we are actually a society on the brink of disaster. Listen to these statistics. Secular experts, by the way, said this. Even though we have the most highly funded educational system in the world, we are producing the most confused, ignorant, and violent children ever. Rates of depression are going through the roof. Suicide is at an all-time high. Anxiety abounds. Serial killers are commonplace. Nobody has any peace. And what are we doing? We're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And you know that's evil. But wait a second. How could this be? I mean, all this technology, this information, this Daniel's rushing here and to and fro and this increase of knowledge. If I get more, and you're always learning, aren't you? But you can't seem to acknowledge the truth. Who's the one and only one who can give you peace and give you rest? See, do you see what he's saying? That's why this society is so horrible. They're falling for a trap, thinking that this technology can give you what only God can give you. One guy says this, it's significant that we call it the information age. We don't talk about the knowledge age. Listen, our society is basically motion without memory, which of course is one of the clinical definitions of insanity. And speaking of insane, you wonder why we feel so disconnected? You wonder why we feel so restless? And I'm talking to even Christians. We've fallen for the bait too. It's because we live like this. This has become our new norm, and we wonder why we have no peace. Let's take a look at this.
We convince ourselves technology is helping. The reality is people don't seem enough for us these days. We condense books into articles, into lists, into GIFs, because who has time to read an actual sentence anymore? We scroll and click and double tap our lives away, wondering where the day goes. We're more anxious than any generation before us, yet we keep downloading another app, hoping that it can fix us. We look to the latest trends, check the reviews on Yelp, investigate the hashtags, yet in a world with so much information, we're somehow still missing the wisdom of life. We crave real connection, but we'd rather text about the hard conversations. We desire relationships, but settle for following each other on Twitter. We stare at the pretty pictures on Instagram instead of the person standing right in front of us. We prefer filtered images to reality. We listen to a new podcast over a person's day. We check social media more than we check in with our friends. In our constant need for new information, new insights, new everything, we lose the chance to make old memories. We like being busy. We wear it like a badge of honor. We can't focus because we're being pulled in 50 different directions. We can't commit because there always seems to be another option, a better alternative. We have trust issues with the people we've known for years, yet we trust someone's review that we just saw on Amazon. We want to hold hands while still holding on to our phones. We scroll through Twitter while we have lunch with our friends. We think we can keep one foot out the door while still falling for the person sitting in front of us. We always need the latest, the newest, the most up-to-date, and then wonder why relationships don't last. We walk around stores on FaceTime and text during work because life without multitasking feels inefficient. We fill our schedule, we fill our days, we fill our phones, thinking that that will cure the emptiness that we feel inside us. We binge another series of that latest Netflix show because someone else's story drowns out the experience of our own. We complain that nothing feels real anymore, but we don't give anything time to become real. We complain nothing has depth, but we don't allow things space to deepen. We're so quick to fill the silence or write someone off completely. We complain nothing feels authentic today as we select a new filter on our selfies. We recharge our devices, but not ourselves. When we're out of time, we just add more to our schedules. We don't know who we want to become because we're too distracted by who everyone else is becoming. How many times has anyone ever said to you, "I want your time"? Whenever you hear that, know this truth. What people really want is your energy. Imagine if you gave someone an hour of your time, but the whole time you were completely distracted on your phone, versus if you gave someone 10 minutes of your complete energy. I'm sure that any of us would select option two, because what we're really searching for is energy. What we're really searching for is attention. What we're really looking for is presence. What we're really after is affection. So what we really need to do is give people our energy, not just our time. Take a moment. Take time to reflect. Take a step back.
And ask yourself. That is our way of life now. But do you realize that's a major sign that you're living in the last days? It's created a restless society. Now, we've done the rat race for decades. But you throw in modern technology, what you just viewed on top, no wonder we're so restless. We're always learning. We've got all this information. And we just keep acquiring it all. We're rushing to and fro and here and there. And yet we're the most loneliness, disconnected, restless society in the history of mankind. And Christians, we've fallen for it too. Do you have time for God? Is he still top priority in your life? What if we treated our Bible like we used to, like we now do with our cell phone? We carry it with us wherever we go. We're constantly checking it for new information. We wouldn't leave home without it. We're telling other people about it. We're sharing about it with their Bible. What would that do? We don't do that anymore. We've been duped too. And we're now a part of that restless society. Do you have time to not just seek God? And by the way, why am I saying that? Because you're always learning, but you're never able to acknowledge the truth. Have we forgotten, Christian, the truth? Who's the only one that can give you rest and peace? Jesus. Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This technology won't give you rest. The latest app won't give you rest. How many likes or dislikes you have on social media is not going to give you rest. The information that you check out on your phone or the internet or whatever, that ain't going to give you rest. But God can. I ain't got time to serve Jesus. Folks, you will always be a restless Christian if you don't do what God's called you to do. Right? I've learned it. Man, 9 months after I got saved was the first opportunity I had to serve Jesus Christ. I thought I was being born again again. This is amazing. Right? Now, you can't be born again again, but that's how I felt. It's like, this is incredible. That God would not only save me and rescue me from hell, but he wants to use me to do something. See, I'm just quoting scripture. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, don't forget 10. 8 and 9, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Why? Because God prepared for us to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. He's got something fantastic for every Christian to do. That's when your life becomes fulfilled. But if you ain't got time, because you're so busy living that, you're being robbed. And dare I say, other people are being robbed as well. Because God gives each one of his children's gifts that we all need to be edified and built up. And we who have gone along with this restless society, the church, are losing a major witness. They're out there and it's empty and bankrupt, isn't it? But what should we be able to show them? Don't fall for that. That's a restless society. That's a sign you're living the last days. You'll never find rest and peace in that. You come to Jesus. Don't you see it in us? Notice how peaceful I am. I live in the same messed up world too. Don't you see that I'm at rest? I'm not worried. God's got this life in his hands. Woo! But is that the witness we're sharing with him? Or have we succumbed to the restless society? Church, we need to wake up. We need to ask ourselves, are we a part of the last day society, or are we being a witness to them? Have we forgotten that Jesus is the only one that can give us rest by seeking him and serving him? And Jesus also said, when these things begin to take place, what's this a sign of? Well, you're living the last days. So what do? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is not a time to be fearful. It's a time to be faithful. It's not a time to be worldly and get caught up in these signs that are showing that time is running out. It's a time to finish strong and get back to seeking Jesus, falling in love with him again, and being convinced of the truth that we know that it's only him who can give us rest. Are you tired of the burden? Are you sick of the heaviness? And I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking lost. I'm talking the church. Are you tired? Then put the technology down and put Jesus Christ first again and watch things turn around just like that. Amen? But if you're here today, that's one of the side effects of being born again. Yes, praise God, we're rescued from God's wrath. We're not going in the 7-year tribulation. And praise God, we're not going to hell through the cross of Jesus Christ. But at the moment that we truly become born again, he indwells us by his spirit. We become the temple of God. And we walk in intimacy every day. We talk to him. We commune with him. He gives us joy. He gives us rest. He gives us peace, even in the midst of this crazy, messed up world. That's what's before you. If you would just acknowledge the truth. Technology cannot save you. Technology cannot satisfy you. But Jesus Christ can. Turn to him today. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.